Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economics segment. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1 with me, David Shombe. It's always an honor to be here. I'm always very happy to be here. And yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, we are very happy to welcome you to Business and Economics segment. And this is a platform that we talk about business, we talk about money, we talk about economics, we talk about food security, we talk about how we should do things better than how they are now. And this is also the platform that we analyze various policies. It's a platform that we analyze domestic and also international relation policies. It's a platform where we look at experts' opinions, expert views. And yeah, just to bring about those thought-provoking, debates, we bring about those conversations which matters, and conversation which we know and understand that they are able also to assist us as a country to move forward, to assist us as a country to move somewhere in terms of development, and in terms of not only development in terms of numbers, like we're always saying, in terms of total developmental agenda, which include GDP growth, we include also infrastructure development, and most importantly, human development, where Namibians or citizens of the country are able also to have the basic needs such as clean water, housing, balanced diet, and also security. In terms, it can be economic security, can also be security in terms of safety in general. And also, we are indicating to say, in terms of development, we are also aiming for the country to have people with hope, people with ambitions, and people who can participate fully in economic activities of that country. And indeed, an advanced country is also a country which the state is able to serve its people, and people are also patriotic enough to support their state, to support their government, and also to be proud of who they are. Because once the state can be able to cater for the basic human needs, or can be able to provide for understandable and also conducive environment for businesses, then life will be better and will be advanced. And listeners, dear listeners, we are indicating that as long as our country is not where it was supposed to be, as long as we are continuing to suffer various challenges, with much respect and also acknowledge what have been done, we are indicating that we are not yet happy. We are not at the standard where other countries are. And that's why we are bringing this conversation. That's why we are bringing this conversation, and also the conversations which are not only directed by one person, but the conversation which allow other people to also positively contribute with an intention, not necessarily to win an argument, but an intention at least to contribute to the development of this country and this nation also. And also to look at how things can be reformed, how things can be changed to good, and also to do a critical assessment on what was done, what have been done, what went wrong, and how we can improve in terms of directing the national priority areas. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are indicating that this is your platform. It's a platform where we also call out the young people to come and participate, call out the young people to say there are more important conversation than organizing a poiki party, and there are more important conversation than as we are going. There are more important conversation than attending events like Kasi Vibe, which I'm not disputing, but let us look at what driving us. Let us look at what can we do, not only now, but what can be done even 5 years from now or 10 years from now, to have that futuristic approach to life, and also futuristic approach to things, and not to be a generation of blaming, but a generation of active participators. Because this is your educational platform. That's why I'm always indicating to say, you can be a policymaker, you can be economic mover, you can be, a a student, you can be a young person. Whether you are a graduate, you are not a graduate, this is your program. This is your program that you have to listen to. And this is your program that, you know, it's our program, actually, because we are trying to reshape, rethink how things should be done. Yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, like I'm always saying, for you to be a very good citizen who don't miss out when things are happening, when economic news are happening, when reports are coming out, when investment opportunities are also coming out, for you to be that good citizen who is always on top of your game, you'd only need to do one thing, which is follow us at our platform, Eagle FM Namibia. You can follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. That is, of course, now X, former Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Like our page, share our page, so that those who follow you can follow us, so that we'll build that community with an understanding of development, an understanding of food security, an understanding of bread and butter issue. So that's why we are saying, when you connect with us through that platform, then your life will be made more easier, and you will be on top of your game. So apart from you following us at all our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, there are those who are asking to say, Eagle FM, where are you? We are not able to see you. We are not able to be connected with you because the frequency is tripping, or the frequency is only coming out these days, or not at all. Dear listeners, we are indicating to say the world is moving very fast, and it's very important also to look what mechanism can we use, how can we keep up with the world, and also how can we not miss out when change are coming. That's why we are saying we are already ahead in terms of development of communication platform. That is why we are indicating that for you to be connected with us, for you to be, you know, connected with Eagle FM Namibia, listening to that radio, you can do that by downloading an app. That is Eagle FM app. We have a simplified smart app that you can use, that you can download. And when you download it, indeed, you can be able also to listen to our program. Go to Play Store, go to App Store, download that Eagle FM Namibia app. The moment just you open it, because it's that app with the sign of an eagle and written with red and also black letters. When you download it, automatically on that point, when you just open it, you will listen to the program which are on air, like when I'm on air now. And interestingly, you can also be able to listen to previous, you know, program by going to podcast. When you go to podcast, you have your open archive there, documented information, documented show, and your life will be made more easier, and you'll be that content-based citizen who understand what is going on. And yeah, apart from you connecting with us via an app, you can also connect with us online. Just type in Eagle FM Namibia, play that, you know, tab written home. You listen to us on air. That is when you are listening to us online. However, there is another very important element that you can, you know, get updated, get information, those economic information, by making sure that when you want to access information, we have the Villager newspaper. That is a newspaper. It's an online paper, actually. It's an online paper. We are talking about the world of digitalization. It's an online paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And yeah, when you download the Villager newspaper, you can subscribe to it. Download, go to the link, download the Villager newspaper, like the page. We update you. We give you that newspaper for free every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Read and update yourself. Then you become that citizen who, you know, is able to make those good decisions. You can become that young person who is not only making decisions based on hearsayings or based on emotions, but decisions which are being done based on data, based on statistical information, decisions based on real events, based on an experienced expert's opinion. And things will be more easier for you, because when you are armed with information, when you are armed with information, no one will stop you. No one will stop you, because information is power, and knowledge is power. That's why civilization is standing. That's why the civilization has been going on, because people expand their knowledge and horizon. people expand their technical and theoretical skills. And yeah, you can do that. So before we go to the conversation for today, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economics segment with me, David Shombe. The other app that you can use is a hymn book. Yeah, because, you know, some of you, you find yourself going to church, for example. Just want spiritual intervention. You know, it's life. You go to church and you don't have a hymn book. But you have a smartphone, you have data, you have Wi-Fi. The better thing to do that, the better thing, the better mechanism to access your hymn book is to download an app called Imba App. Imba App is an app that you can be able to Imba. It's an app that, you know, you can be able to access the digital version of your hymn book in various local Namibian languages. It can be Oshuambo, Ehangano, Sherero, Maimburiro, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. Go to Play Store, download Imba, then you can be able to connect with us. Or you can able to connect with us. You can also be able to access your hymn book. You can be a pastor who just forgot your hymn book at a certain event. Life can be a bit chaotic, but don't need to scratch your head. Congregation and must be saved. And what you need to do, take your phone, smartphone, connect to that Wi-Fi or data, download Imba app, put it in your phone. Then you'll be able to access those hymn songs and life will be more easier and smart. So, dear listeners, we're going to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll see what do we have today on the table, what we have today on business and economic segment. And so stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned. Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are going to look at the importance of research, the importance of research in academia, in governance, in business, and in personal development. And we need to contextualize this thing. We need to contextualize this conversation so that our listeners will also be able to know and understand what are we talking about when you are talking about the research. What is the difference between an academic research and also a policy-making research? And what is the difference between a policy-making research and business research, and also research for personal development? Yeah, it is undeniable that for the past 50 years, businesses, corporations, and industries have been spending money on research, discoveries, and also expanding their corporations. Yes, we are indicating that for the past 50 years, corporations, bigger companies, developing countries, developed countries at the moment, spend more money on what we call R&D. R&D is research and development. And in simple terms, research is a systemic process of correcting data, interpreting data, and also solving problems using those, interpreted data that can, become information. And the research come in different ways. You have an academic research where a student, an academician, or a researcher embarked on research about a certain topic, whether it's proving a theory, whether it's solving a problem, whether it's a health problem, whether it's also research to innovate. And academic research in most cases is a type of research which is being done in order to produce a certain paper, in order to discover something or to complete a certain course, whether it's an honors degree, master's degree, and a PhD. And in most cases, academic research end up to be the only known research that people think about. But looking at industrialization, looking at development, there is what we call industrial research. And when you talk about industrial research, this is an extensive research which is being done, number one, to look for something, to look for a certain product, number two, to solve a certain problem like a disease, that we talk about now, medical research, it can also be a research which is being done in order to advance a certain product in the market. Now, when we go there, we'll be able also to see that looking at leading companies, Fortune 500 companies, some of the top leading companies in the US, you'll be able also to see that in many of these Fortune 500 companies, they spend more money on R&D. That is research and development. Competitive company at a global scale. Competitive companies at a global scale, they spend more money on R&D. Let us look at, for example, Apple. It is indicated that in 2024 alone, Apple spent around $31.37 billion in R&D. And what is very interesting is also that this also provides an increase of more than 7.8% compared to 2023. Now, $31.37 billion is not chicken change. We can be from a poor country, but you will also be able to understand that if somebody is talking about $31 billion, it's not chicken change. And it's just being spent on going into the field. It's just being spent on studying. It's just being spent on, evaluating the strength and the weakness of the product. Because why Apple is doing this if they are already producing a best product, such as iPhone, iPads, and many other technological devices? Why are they doing that? Not only that, if you look at other bigger companies, not only in tech, you can look at an auto company. You can look at Toyota, for example. It is undeniable that when you are thinking about vehicles, when you are talking about cars, Toyota will never go out of the system, because this Japanese company, they maintain their balance, they maintain their relevance in the market. Why do they maintain their relevance in the market? They maintain their relevance in the market because what they did is that they made sure that every year, they increase on R&D. R&D is research and development, and that is an industrial research. Because what is very interesting is that, ask yourself this, although the price of cars are becoming expensive every year, every model, every version of a new Toyota, those days we used to see, call it Toyota 2000, we used to see advancement in terms of Toyota. Then we start to see VVTi, smaller buggies. You see different versions of, VVTis. You have D4D, 2.8, 3.8. And just advancement in terms of the version. Why do you think these products are being brought up every year? It's to become relevant in the market and also to bring new features, comfort, speed, and strength to these vehicles. But how do you identify that? You only identify that when you spend money where? In R&D. R&D, that is research and development. When you look at Toyota, like 2024, they spend around $3.86 trillion on research and development. It's not chicken change. It's not chicken change. But what we are trying to indicate to you here is that one of the areas that is being neglected, especially in a developing world, is spending money on real research. I'm not talking about you go and look for consultants. I'm talking about real research where people are doing research based on the environment that they are, so that they can solve their problems. When you talk about for example, Facebook, or some people they call it Meta, depends on how you find yourself in. They spend around $32.159 billion on research and development. That one you will also be able to realize, to say, why are bigger companies strategizing on spending on research and development. Why research is important to not only in academia but to businesses also. Now you come to national development, you come to a state. A state, in many countries, in developed countries, we have think tanks. And in most cases, think tanks are research institutions which is comprised of academicians, former politicians, former policymakers, students who can go to the field and advance and also assist the government to look ahead. And these are some of the institutions also which also assist the government to make decisions. But now in Namibia, when you talk about think tank, we do not have think tanks in Namibia. We do not have think tanks in Namibia. There are few institutions that can be able to provide not only intellectual capacity, but well-researched projects, either in terms of industries, either in terms of policies. Yes, we have IPPR. We have IPPR. We have university with little investment in research and development. You can also talk about a little bit of NIPAM, but it's not a think tank. It's a government institution. It's like a government university to teach public servants. But we are lacking in that capacity. We have Namibia Scientific Research Institute. We have NIP with little to no expert and capacity, no accredited laboratories. And you are wondering why we are where we are. And in terms of business, we have business schools which are using books from nowhere. You don't know where. I'm yet to see 5 academic books written by Namibians, particularly in the business side. I'm not talking about thesis, but just academic content-based academic books written by Namibians, at least to contribute to that. And how widely are these academic books used? For you to develop in the sector of business, in the sector of entrepreneurship, you need data. You need data, which are just raw unorganized information that need to be analyzed. When you analyze that, you have information, then you know where the problem is. And for those of you who went to, I don't want to say university, for those of you who went to higher institution of learning, then you get an opportunity to do a research, either it's a mini project, either it's a thesis, either it's a dissertation. You also be able to now see that the research that we are doing, the research, and this thing, we are not even our professors and our supervisors, they don't really tell us the importance of the research that we are doing. They will just tell you, no, do this research, finish with your proposal, collect data, interpret those data. When you are done interpreting those data, defend your thesis, your dissertation, whatsoever, so that you can graduate. But they are not really telling us to say, this is how you solve problems. In where you are going to find yourself, this is how you solve problems. This is one of the methodologies being used to solve problems. Because if you go to our academia, most of this, with much respect, our professors and also our supervisor, they focus more on the word structure. They focus more on the word structure. They focus more on how you wrote and all those things, which is very important about an academic content-based literature. But they don't really focus on the content of why am I supervising these kids to do research? And I'm just teaching them for them to have PhDs and master's degree. And I'm just doing that. Or I'm doing it for the sake of them knowing exactly that they're going to solve problems. Because you can go to academia and just ask any person that you find, scholars, particularly master students, I don't know about PhDs, then you ask them, why are you doing this this research? You say, no, I'm about to complete my research, I'm about to do this. But you are not really being told to say, you are doing this not really for the sake of you getting this document, but when you go into the field, this is one of the mechanisms that is being used, because in academic research and industrial research is different, but methods are almost the same, because at the end of the day, it's about solving a problem. It's about solving a problem. Yeah, that's why we are saying today, we are talking about the importance of research and development and how we can prioritize in that area. You know why some of the politicians, not all of them, you can find those politicians who they take their information from Google. They don't confirm. They don't read content-based reports. They don't have researchers who can go to the field and also correct information from them. That's why you are wondering why we are where we are. Why there is a difference between the speech and the product outcome. And this year, I got an opportunity to go to NIP. There was a conference at NIP, and one of the well-known professors in Namibia stood up and said, "No, look, it's Professor Nisha Peters. You know her. She's a well-known tech expert and CEO of Namibia Scientific Research Institute, Namibia Scientific Research Commission." She indicated to say, "Look, there is little investment. The investment the government is putting in research is little. It's lower than 3%, and it's going down. And it's a concern to Namibia. It's a concern regarding where we are going in terms of development, and also where we are going in terms of finding solutions to our problems. Because if you have a country which is spending less than 3% in research and development, then how do you expect to solve your problems? How do you expect to solve your problems? If you have a country which we take time, and most of the data people are using, we depend more on Namibia Statistic Agency. We depend more on Namibia Statistic Agency to go and correct information for us. By the time they are done with their survey, there's another problem already which is coming. Just by the time they are done with their survey, there's another problem already which is coming, because not all the data are collected by NSA. There's a lot of information having collected from there. When you look at health, go to the Ministry of Health and Social Services. And just for the sake of curiosity, to say, "No, where are your researchers? Where are your researchers in the medical field? Where are they? Who feed you with this information? What capacity of researchers do we have? Do we have well-trained researchers? How do you deal with public health issues?" Just ask those information. How do you deal with public health issues? And what can we do to move forward from here? Look at the businesses. Everybody's talking about businesses. Everybody's talking about businesses. And this is something also which make me angry. And also maybe many people also, especially when it's coming to a lot of talks without practical implementation. And this is also one of the things that I know I had the conversation with Menoa. I said, "No, we like talking too much. We like talking, but there is little to no impact on the ground. Yes, we like talking. Yeah, but it's through communication like this one where we can also see that maybe there is something that we need to do. Maybe there is something also that, we need to change. And when we change, there's something that we need to change. At least one day, we will find ourselves somewhere better. Because look, in Windhoek, currently as we are speaking, we are 500,000 in Windhoek. There's no doubt about it. Statistics are indicating that we have 500,000. And the population of Windhoek is not growing slow. It's not growing slow at all. We have 500,000 population in Windhoek. The population is grow above 3% every year. And what is very interesting is that is 3% of the population which is there the previous year. Not 3% of nothing. If you're half a million, well, 3% of half a million, where are we going to be next year? What will happen to the capacity of Vendok in the next 10 years? Ask yourself that question. Is there a cooperation? Or is there a relationship between the infrastructure developmental plan and also the growth of the citizens or the growth of the residents? Is there a cooperation between, water supply and electrical supply with the increment of the population, or somebody is lacking, is falling behind? How can you solve that? You can only solve that when you have not only good town planners, you have people who are sent into the field. They do proper research. They don't just go in the field and start guessing. They go in the field and do proper research. They go into the field and analyze data correctly. You can only do this if you have an institution like City of Vendok or any other municipalities which is sponsoring students or funding students, especially those who are standing in the field of, for example, town planning. It can also be public management or public health. Fund the students so that when they graduate, they will be able to assist you in your planning. They will be able to help you with your research and development. How much City of Vendok spend on research and development? Yeah, but I'm also starting to see there are a little bit of researchers around here and there, which just need to be thanked. But at all front, research must dominate priorities, because people think it's not only about correcting information, it's also about planning. It's also about planning, and you don't need an external institution to come and give you data. Then you start also running to say, no, we are at this rate, our economy is this rate, we are here, and this is where we need to move. Because if you have to think at a broader scale, particularly at a national scale, you'll be able to realize that the gap in industrial research and academic research is one of the main thing that limit our implementation of good policies being put on the table. And there's no reality. There's no reality between what we say and what we do. There's absolutely no reality. And this can only be solved when our government, our private sector, our academia, our NGOs, our few think tanks that we have, prioritize more on research, spend more money on research, not only for the sake of doing research, develop that capacity so that you can solve the problems. Because if you look, for example, in the field of agriculture is one of the top priorities in this country. And the agriculture that we teach at university is not the agriculture that is in the field. That's why you have more graduates of agriculture science than farmers with technical skills and understanding of how the agriculture is working. Yeah, that is one thing that we need to look into. That's one thing that we need to look into. And how can you solve that? You can only solve that when you do research. You can only solve that when you do research, when you correct information to say, what is the gap between academic agriculture and practical agriculture? And who is able to do research? It's not only somebody who is at university. It's not only somebody who went to university. It's not only somebody who went to high school whatsoever. Because a research can also be put at a lower scale, at a lower level. If you want to start a business, we go around the field, look for information. What do these people in this community need? What is needed in this community? Because somebody inherit money or got retired, you start opening a bar in the location where there are 20 bars facing each other. Are you opening the bar for the sake of opening a bar? Or start opening another market opposite your friend's market just for you to socialize together? But is that the intention of the business? Because of our lack of understanding on the meaning of correcting right information and solving problems, we'll continue to suffer the consequences of our ignorance until we come to the point where we understand that the country that we have, this beautiful Namibia, can only be solved, can only be, you know, advanced by those who are living in it. And hiring a lot of consultants from outside, bringing them to Namibia, and thinking that this thing is going to solve our problems, will continue to suffer because of our ignorance. Because when you look at what has been happening for the past 35 years, you can argue with me and you can disagree and agree with me in various ways, which is a democratic right. We used to have a lot of external consultants, smaller projects. They are going to our field. We see them at our village. They are heading projects. They are hired. They are well paid. And these guys, ask yourself, where are you now? Where are we now? Okay, we have this consultant to talk about poverty, talk about hunger. They talk about, you know, they talk about all sort of things. But one thing that they lack is, experience of the environment. In military, they call it battleground advantage. Experience of the environment. They lack experience of the environment because they do not understand deeply how the ecosystem of those that community is working, how the country or how the that village is operating, how the population is operating, their beliefs and methods and how they survive. They are just coming and do their plans and building bridges in you know, on top of wells, or building infrastructure on building infrastructure on top of or in the middle of ocean. Because had we invested more in the research, a town like Oshakati wouldn't be flooded. Every year we have a flood in Namibia, people wouldn't be, you know, relocated every year. Because this thing should have already been solved already. Had we done more research on planning, on town planning, towns like city, towns like you know, Oshakati will not be. Those residents will not be just you know, relocated every day when we have a flood. Had we invested more in research and development, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't suffer. We wouldn't even speak like this. We wouldn't suffer like this. We wouldn't suffer like this, especially. As young people who are always crying, we are looking at the government with red eyes, and everyone has his and her own problem. But had we invested more in research, we wouldn't, most of the problem would be already solved. Had we invested more in research, wouldn't you take 100 million back? Back to the treasury, as a ministry of agriculture, we don't do that. Because had we invested in the research, we wouldn't have collapse of SOEs in Namibia. We wouldn't have that. Because when you look at what's happening to our Namibian SOEs, look at the issues of the system that we have, look at the issue of corporate governance that we have, then you're asking yourself to say, man, what is going on? Which SOE is next? You have NAMCO, you have NSF, you have Namibia, you have NIDA, you have Trans Namibia, you have a lot of them. Now you have MITCO. Even an acting CEO is just to act. The man is already suspended. Then they put now an interim. You know where you are going. A chairperson of the RS to say, no, man, me, I'm done. A chairperson of the board say, no, I'm done, I'm going. There's no agreement between me and those who are making directives. Say, no, I'm done. Then you have a deputy CEO. Deputy chairperson of the board. Who is leading the board now? Now, why you have a deputy CEO of the board? Then you also have... an acting CEO. On top of that, the board with a deputy CEO, the board with a deputy chairperson has to suspend the acting CEO. On top of that, because you're already acting, because the main CEO is also out, then now they put an interim. Is Mitko going to stand up again? Had we done research, we wouldn't do this fighting of a red line thing, or here and there, go to court, somebody like Professor Job has to go and defend everybody who was supposed to do research and speak well. We wouldn't have these ongoing court cases, thinking somebody is his view. Because had we done good research, we wouldn't have declining in party votes. And I'm telling you, with much respect, the most of the challenges that we have, we could have solved them. And most of the challenges that we have are because of our decision, me and you. My decision and your decision, they brought us where we are now. So that's why today we are talking about the importance of research, the importance of investment in the research, and also to research about research. Yeah, because when you research about research, you'll also be able to see that it's not only somebody who can speak a high level of English, not only somebody who can, speak a corporate English, who can go to university, who can do research. Even you who sell Kapana, you can also be able to do research, can do an assessment to say, what do people like? Apart from me selling only Kapana, what can I add? Can I ask my customers, what do they like? Or what do they don't like about what I do? Then you know those information, then you can also be able to expand in your business. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are talking about the importance of research and development in personal, business, academia, and policy making. And what can we do to move forward in terms of, advancing our country, particularly complementing the goals and objective of our national priority. Yes, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at why research, why should we go back to research, and which research are we talking about when you talk about development? And we give a comparison to various institutions, particularly those Fortune 500 companies, which are doing very well because they do research. They spend more money in research. And I think for us to develop our research capacity, I think instead of spending more time in making speeches and instead of spending more time in thinking about what you want to do, let us go to the field and also collect those data. Let us go to those laboratories and also intensify our medical research. Let us analyze the content of, for example, traditional medications. What is there? And how can we improve what we are falling behind in? The health sector. The health sector is one of the most crucial sector in Namibia. And as we are speaking now, the country is flooded with a lot of medication, a lot of boosters. Some people they call them supplements, but there is no medical student who stand up and say, "Okay, you find people with various types of sickness. Some they gain unnecessary weight. Some they look differently. So when you look on their face, you think a person may be 60 years old, but the person is just 29 years. People use various unverified products just it's a mess. And when you go to hospitals are full, and prescriptions, people don't even know who make these medications. Because I got into argument with one of my friends, a nurse, and she was talking something which I don't really like, because there was a debate about this COVID thing, to say no, it was human made, the population of all these things, and yeah, people are just injected and all those things. And I say, look, you can say whatever you want to say, which is your own opinion, but even if it was the case, what can you do? What can you do, and what do you have? What option do you have? Do you have control of any medication which is coming, or we are just fighting about procurement of medication? We don't even know who is making this medication, because our research capacity is very, very low. And I'm not saying we should do those industries already now, but had we started, we would be somewhere. Had we started, we would be somewhere. Otherwise, we'll end up or continue. Not end up, because we already are. We will continue to be the dumping site of all the unwanted products of the world. If we continue to be the dumping site of all the unwanted products of the world, we will continue to suffer unimaginable diseases, because we don't know what to put in our body, because we have no control. And how do we have control? We can only have control if we do our own internal research, internal investigation. We already do our own, business research. We reform our academic institutions. We capacitate those institutions. I don't want to speak on behalf of NIP or Namibia Research and Scientific Commission. I don't want to speak on behalf of them. I don't want to speak also on behalf of think tanks. But spending money on that would produce long-term results. Number one, it will create employment. And it also produce long-term results. And easier, it will be more easier for policymakers to make decisions which are calculated, and decisions which can also save resources. Because just think about this. This certain village deep down Zambezi region, for example, other side, north side of Imperial. You go there, then you see a lot of people do not have medication. Then you build a state of the art hospital with a cost, for example, of 30 billion, just to give a prediction. State of the art. But you don't have information about the population of the people who are in that, because those people, yes, they are suffering, but they only need an advanced intermediate hospital, for example, or just an advanced clinic, or it's just like a small village which need a mobile clinic while you are building a road to build an intermediate hospital, or they just need an ambulance to be connected. But because of our lack of understanding of how research and development is working, we'll continue to waste resources. Go to government garage. Go to where government cars are being fixed. Look at the number of how many cars are being bought, how many cars are in the garage. Then you realize to say, some of these things could have already been solved if Ministry of Transport look at how we can, this thing of, proper research is being done, how many vehicles are being bought, what kind of vehicles are being bought, what happened to the other model, and which model is more required, which regions are these vehicles are going to be used, or they are just being bought for the sake of them being bought. How experienced are the drivers which are going to drive these vehicles and all those things. Because otherwise, it will practically be impossible to reach our goal if we don't respect and also prioritize our research. That one is very important, but I want to give you a task. What you need to do, go and research about research. Okay, now go online, you can read books. and understand different kinds of research. We could talk about medical research, talk about industrial research, research for innovation. You can talk about academic research, research for policymaking, business and market research. Then you see how the big boys are playing. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And we are always very, very happy to be here. We are always very happy when we are bringing about those thought-provoking conversations. And I want to make it very clear to say, when we are bringing this conversation, we are bringing them for the sake of trying to find better solutions to the problems that our country is facing, and also try to teach ourselves. So that's why it's always very important to make sure that you communicate with us, give your input. And yeah, so from me, Devin Shombe, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. And until next time, bye-bye.